morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and therefore let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the seventh Sunday in the season of Easter, and therefore we proclaim, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
This is also the Sunday of the Ascension, that special festival day in the church year when we remember how 40 days after Easter, our Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. So we begin our worship together this morning by singing one of the great Ascension hymns, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus.
Your footstool and your throne.
Zion, thunder like a mighty flood. Jesus, out of every nation, has redeemed us by his blood.
We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We bow our heads in silent confession before our Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We join together in our song of praise. Right?
Would I lift your name on high?
Good. I was wondering why the organ wasn't going.
I'll just stare forward. He'll start playing. Okay, wait a second.
I know.
I'm about to really lose it.
Here. I know. I'm just picturing you standing there going for 5 minutes.
And the whole time I'm going, I thought that was next. I thought that was next. Isn't it next?
And I was going, why isn't Scott playing? Why isn't Scott playing? I don't think I'm doing the intro.
Okay.
Okay. Wait.
We're all gonna pull yes. it together. I will stare at the camera and just smile.
Wait. What is your intro? Now that we're stopped.
You rehearsed, remember?
We didn't really, though. In doing that whole thing? Okay. I'll probably join you then. What the heck?
Hey, that's really big of you.
I'll help you out. Whew. Okay.
Hey, Dave, how we doing? All right.
Hi, Dave.
You know, when everybody comes back to church, this will be so boring.
You're going to be singing The Way We Were.
I'm really thinking of starting the worship service this way. Coming out. Bowing. Turning around and going. What are you guys doing here? Yeah. And where are the puppets?
And you have to do it this way. There's the intro. And you got to go sideways.
Jan might not appreciate that humor.
I don't know. She has a pretty good sense of humor about it.
Hey, is that a long enough segue?
Okay. Good?
I'm going to smile at the camera. Okay. Everyone's going to be quiet, and then he'll suddenly start playing.
Okay.
Also
with you.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, King of glory and Lord of angel armies, we remember this day how you ascended in glory from the Mount of Olives in the presence of all your disciples. You have ascended in triumph above all the heavens so that you might be enthroned at the right hand of the Father to forever intercede for us, your disciples. Give us faith to believe the mystery of your glorious promise, that in the fullness of your divinity, you are still with us always, to the end of all ages, never to leave us, never to forsake us. Leave us not as orphans, but send upon us the miracle of your life-giving presence, your Easter Spirit, your Spirit of truth, your Spirit of power, to call, gather, and light, enlighten, and sanctify your whole church on earth for the glory, the work of your kingdom. We pray all this in your great and mighty holy name, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? Are we having fun yet? Oh, I take turns every week.
No.
Sometimes. What, you want popcorn with the program? Okay.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Scripture for this Ascension Sunday is from Acts, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Not really, because it's not a gospel.
What book is it? What book is it? Oh, it's Acts.
Yes, okay. Acts. That's okay. I just don't want you snickering in the background while I'm reading. Okay. Do we need to sing again? I think we do, because it flows right in.
Todd?
Would it make your edit easier? Okay. So I should just start in on the Holy Scripture for this Ascension, okay? Okay. We'll just make it up as we go.
We are. We're doing a fine job, too.
You realize this service is really in the hands of Todd.
Oh, yes.
Do you feel the power, Todd?
It could be.
Glory to you, O Todd.
Praise to you, O Todd.
Oh, my. The Holy Scripture for this, let's start over. The Holy Scripture for this Ascension Sunday is from Acts, the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John, and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Father, let's start again. Mic went out, right? Okay. Hearers of God's word, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, our mighty ascended Lord. Before her death in 1997, Mademoiselle Jean Calment was the oldest living human being whose age could be verified by official documents. This remarkable French lady claimed she owed her remarkable longevity to three things: chocolate, olive oil, and a good port wine. On her 120th birthday, someone asked Mademoiselle Calment, "What is your vision of the future?" And with a twinkle in her eye, Mademoiselle Calment replied, "Very brief." This morning we're talking about vision. Today's Bible passage is about a clash of visions. You see, Jesus' followers had a very brief, a very limited vision of the future. Now that Jesus had been raised from the dead, they were sure, wasn't he now going to, you know, return the kingdom of Israel to all of his earthly power? God's chosen people, they would be restored. The hated Romans, they would be destroyed and driven out. And the great historic kingdom of David would be finally restored. So they ask, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Once again, they are told that they are not ready for what's coming. They are totally unprepared for God's grand agenda. And therefore, to paraphrase, Jesus says, "You think I'm just talking about a little kingdom here in Israel? Hold on to your seats. I've got something infinitely bigger in mind. I'm talking about the universe." Before Jesus could return to the Father, he needed to enlarge his disciples' vision. So how do you expand someone's vision? How do you open their imaginations? I always love listening to people after they get back from a big trip. I love listening to their stories, hearing about the places they went, the different adventures that they had, the new people that they met, and the new foods that they tried, and looking at all of their pictures and having them show me their new souvenirs. I have found this is all especially true when I'm listening to someone who's just been on a mission trip. Now, maybe it's a mission trip that's been right here in Mansfield, but they have found new ways to connect with their neighbors right here in downtown Mansfield. It's like listening to Jan talk about how excited she is about how well the Fresh Produce Ministry went last week, how many hundreds of people came, and how many hundreds of families were served. Or it's like listening to many of you share about your personal experiences in being on a mission trip to Malawi, an experience that literally is life-changing. You will never be the same. In these stories, you can always hear in folks' voices their enthusiasm, their excitement, and you can see it in the gleam in their eyes and the energy in their bodies. Their vision for God and for his world and for their purpose from God in this world, it has suddenly exploded in wonderful, new, and exciting ways. God has grabbed hold of their imaginations. Because of that, they see the world differently. They are starting to see the world through Jesus' eyes. In today's gospel story, you could say the apostles' vision, it was, at the very least, impaired. It was like they had a very bad case of spiritual macular degeneration. They couldn't see much beyond the little nation of Israel or even Jerusalem. When they heard the phrase, "the kingdom of God," their heads were homebound. They were, if you will, shut-ins of their own minds making. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But Jesus is planning for a world invasion, not by might and force, but by the power of his love and mercy, his kindness, his truth, his forgiveness. Jesus needed to enlarge their vision. First, Jesus calls them to spread his message to Jerusalem. Now, that might seem simple enough until you remember that it is in Jerusalem, where they're at, that all of the leaders, all of the officials with their armies and their spies are already looking for them so that they can seize them and crucify them just like they crucified Jesus. Oh, being a witness to Jerusalem, that's no easy command. From Jerusalem, they are to expand their mission, we're told, to Judea. That's the region around Jerusalem. Again, you would think the apostles could travel pretty anonymously in Judea, but you need to remember that this region of Judea, it had its own serious challenges for them, because we are told that all of the apostles, they were from Galilee. That's the region in the north. Judea's in the south. And all the Jews in Judea, they just despised the Jews from Galilee. They considered them religiously inferior, impure. They were born on the wrong side of the tracks. They had been way too influenced by those Gentile dogs. And on top of it, you could tell a Galilean by that Galilean accent. The next command was to take the good news of the gospel to Samaria. For the apostles, that had to be far more shocking. You see, Samaria was settled by Jews hundreds and hundreds of years previously who had intermarried with the pagans in that region. And therefore, all good Jews in the north and in the south, they considered everyone in Samaria just a bunch of half-breeds at best. Hatred and suspicion had grown up between the Jews and the Samaritans for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the Jews, they so despised the people of Samaria that when they needed to pass from Judea in the south to Galilee in the north, or Galilee in the north to Judea in the south, they would never go through Samaria. They would always go around just to stay away from those people. To be sent to Samaria, you need to realize that that is like being sent into enemy territory. During World War II, Nazi forces led by Colonel Hermann Kappler occupied the city of Rome. And Kappler was known for his brutal SS brutality. All of Rome, but especially the Roman Jews, lived in terror of him. And one of Kappler's greatest enemies, interestingly, was an Irish priest working in the Vatican, Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty. Monsignor O'Flaherty was a fearless member of the underground resistance in Rome. He helped save more lives during World War II than any other single person. Think of that. Many times, Colonel Kappler tried to arrest Father O'Flaherty or even have him assassinated. But O'Flaherty, his huge secret network of informers kept him just always one step ahead of Kappler. At the end of the war, the Nazi Colonel Kappler was captured, tried, and sentenced to life in prison for all of his horrific war crimes. In all of his years in prison, Kappler never had a single visitor except one, Monsignor Hugh O'Flaherty, Kappler's greatest enemy, This priest came faithfully to visit Kapler every single month. And in 1959, Father O'Flaherty was blessed with the opportunity to be able to lead Herman Kapler to saving faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and to baptize him into the Christian faith. His enemy had become his brother in Christ. Why did Father O'Flaherty go into enemy territory? To spread the good news of Jesus' love and amazing forgiveness, his salvation? It was because his Lord and Savior, his Commander-in-Chief, commanded him to do so. You see, knowing Jesus will always enlarge your vision. Finally, in today's gospel, Jesus commands his followers to take the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth. God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, God's vision has always been a global vision. For the first disciples, this message, it was truly radical. Take the gospel to the Gentiles? The Savior of the world? I thought it was just to be the Savior of Israel, but now we take the good news to the Gentiles? With this command, Jesus now redefines what is possible. So with this superhuman task, Jesus now promises to them superhuman power, the power of his own Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Easter, the very power of God, the power by which God raised Jesus from the dead would be poured out upon them on Pentecost to dwell within them. God's new creation, the birth of his church. And therefore, all of the works of the disciples had seen Jesus do in his ministry, his preaching, his teaching, forgiving sins, miracles of healing, miracles of multiplication, miracles of resurrection, they would now be doing. But none of this power would be poured out upon the disciples until Jesus departed. And that's why his ascension was so important. And the Holy Spirit, oh, would be absolutely necessary, because Jesus wasn't just calling these apostles to be his witnesses. What is the word that Jesus uses in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8? And you shall be my witnesses. The word here for witnesses is martyros. Martyros. Yes, the word from which we get our word, martyr. A martyros is someone who is willing to give their all. They are willing to die for Jesus, die for their faith, die for their Lord, give the greatest sacrifice. Of the 12 apostles, many traditions say that all of them gave their very lives, died a martyr's death. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the miracle of God's Easter Spirit living within us that gives us such faith and strength and grace and courage to be God's witnesses right in our daily lives, with friends, with families, with co-workers, with people we know and to total strangers. It is God's Holy Spirit that gives us the power to fear nothing, to do what on our own would be impossible. But all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. It is Jesus, Jesus who gives us his all, so we might give our all for him. The challenge to those very first disciples at the ascension of our Lord, it was to be his witnesses. As Jesus ascended, they were all standing there just kind of looking, staring into the sky. And the angels appeared and said, what are you doing here? You got work to do. There's a world waiting to be saved. And it was a threefold challenge that God gave to them and still gives to each and every one of us today. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. In other words, we all have a local ministry. We have ministry to our neighbors, to our friends, our co-workers. We have ministry here in Mansfield. The next call to ministry was to Judea and Samaria, and that's the region. God calls us as Christians to be involved in mission here in the United States, in America, to look for opportunities to be a light for Him in our own country, in our own state. And then finally, He sends us to the ends of the earth, a global mission. And yes, we experience that here at First English. Our ministry to our partners in Malawi and in Peru and in India. Through all of these different opportunities, building intentional relationships, building mission partners in Mansfield, in the USA, and around the world, working together to boldly proclaim Jesus, our mighty risen and ascended Lord. Amen. Let us stand and sing together our hymn of the day.
Jesus, you shall see.
confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Rejoicing in the miracle of new life in Jesus Christ, let us pray for the church and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, we pray for the church, to build on you the rock of salvation. We may be witnesses of the hope and promise revealed through your death and your glorious resurrection and ascension. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty, risen, and ascended Lord Jesus, you commanded your apostles to be your witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Fill us with all courage and power so that you might find us faithful, reaching out to share the good news of your saving love here in the city of Mansfield, here in our state and nation, and globally in your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our missionaries, for our mission partners and their families. We pray especially this day for the Nick and Shannon Kraft family, our missionaries to Peru, the Brian and Barb Sorge family, our missionaries to India, and Shadrach and Yami Chakoti, and the Kenyenyeva Orphan Care Ministries of Malawi. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, bless and protect all those who lead us in our war against this deadly virus. Bless and protect our medical personnel, our first responders, our research scientists, our food producers and processors, grocery store and pharmacy workers, and all those in vital industries and businesses who are daily working to keep all of us supplied and alive. We pray especially for your blessings of wisdom and protection to be with our President, Donald Trump, and his advisors, Dr. Anthony Fauci and Dr. Deborah Birx. We pray for our governor, Mike DeWine, and his advisors, for Dr. Amy Acton. And we pray also for all of our area mayors. Bless them all with your guiding wisdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord of all compassion, bless and sustain all those who suffer from illness and disease. We pray especially this day for your presence and your healing comfort and power to be with Beverly Pickett, Jackie Moxley, Vicky Cowell Foss, Carolyn Suzuki Denault, Barb Davis, Sheila Muma, Henry Colchies, Joe Rogers, Sean Volz, Linda Arnold, Stan Russell, Lowell Weeks, Paul Connery, Lana Connery, Jaleel Holt, Lori Hamrick, Sonia Snell, and Grant Hobson. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Jesus, the giver of the gift of eternal life, be the comfort of those for whom death draws near, and grant your peace to all those whose loved ones have died. We pray especially in these days for your healing comfort to be with the family and the friends of Don Hariff and Bill Schultz. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend now all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our risen and ascended Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
We share together the peace of Christ. Christ's peace Christ be peace. With you. Christ's peace.
Christ's peace,
Christ peace be with each of you. Regarding our announcements for today, again, want to begin by expressing my great thanks to our song leader, Becky Pittman, organist, Scott Berry, our videographers, Todd Heichel and Tom Sarbaugh, and working our sound booth, Ed Farner. These are the folks who are making all of these broadcasts possible for all of us, and we thank them for their gifts and for their service for the work of Christ's kingdom. Looking ahead, we are looking forward to our first public worship service here back in our sanctuary. And hopefully, if all continues to go well, that will be at 10 a.m. on Sunday, June 7th. Sunday, June 7th. There will be some special guidelines for us to be able to reopen safely, and we will be mailing a copy of those to everyone in the congregation, and we will also be posting those on our church's website and also on our church's Facebook page. We will be planning to have Holy Communion on the second Sunday in June, the second Sunday on June 14th. This is the time in our worship service where we normally receive the gifts of our tithes and our offerings and our sacrifices. And I just want to again say thank you. Thank you to all of God's wonderful, faithful people. You are so beautifully, so wonderfully continuing to mail in your tithes, your offerings, your sacrifices. It is truly a sign of your great love for our Lord Jesus and your passion for the mission of Christ Church. Thank you for your faithfulness. My God, bless you in your generosity. During this time in which we would normally be receiving our offerings, we have a special treat today. Because this is Memorial Day weekend, we have a special treat, and that's Ava Zay. She's going to be singing for us, God Bless America. Thank you, Ava. It's Ava, right?
Yep.
Not Eva. Good.
You're good.
Let us join together in praying our Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Bow your hearts unto God and receive his blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We join together in singing our closing song of praise.
there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, but with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in
peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.